Mission Impossible.
What was it, 8, 9?
At this point, the mission is definitely possible, man. Come on. It's possible.
It's all possible.
Mission highly probable.
Somewhat difficult. All right, here we go. Ready? We're going in 10 seconds. Starting in 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up, everybody? This is the Red Band Podcast, your source for all film and TV related news and topics. I am your host, Anthony King. And of course, with me tonight is my co-host,
Adrian G. Fuentes.
And sitting over there in the control room is our technical director, Mike Cards. Yeah. Mike, you happy?
Eagles!
I almost spiked all the audio right there just for that last one.
I wonder if I could see the... it's already passed.
Just clips. Everything's just clipped.
Oh, definitely clipped, dude.
All you hear is just...
Yeah, man, Eagles won.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Is this like a room just full of Chief haters or?
Yeah, pretty much. That's all it is.
100%.
Yeah. Is it Chief or Mahone haters?
All of the above.
Just all of it.
I've never prayed on the downfall of a team so hard before.
Did they win last year?
Yeah. So this is the third time that Eagles have met them in the Super Bowl, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they got their revenge. They got it back.
100%. They studied the tapes.
Oh, man, that was a blowout, man.
Refs had no help, gave no help whatsoever to the Chiefs. Chiefs actually had to play on their own footing, which was nothing.
Like, it kind of felt like they were giving little pity passes towards the end where they're like, all right, you can at least have some points. We're not going to fully blow you out.
I mean, at that point, like, you had your second stringers playing. So that way everyone had a chance to play
in
the Super Bowl. But also a fact of like, hey, man, if something gets intercepted, don't worry about it. Just take it as like a live practice session.
So basically, they allowed Rudy on the field.
Yeah, they allowed Rudy. Did.
They allowed Rudy.
Don't worry, champ. Come on, just try your hardest.
Shit, they were carrying off the second string.
Hey, remember, you're a champion just from being here.
That's right. Oh, shit, I was waiting for like the one dad that didn't show up to any of the games to like show up on the field and be like, I'm proud of you, boy. You know? And do like that whole like hug.
Then we finally get the captions to see where they're at now.
Hell yeah.
Yes, but this week we're going to be covering over, of course, is what happened during the Super Bowl. The halftime, of course, with Kendrick Lamar and, of course, all the movie trailers they released. But first, we're going to go over to our smaller film news.
Yeah.
So what we got here first... Pharrell Williams is actually canceling that. What was that Lego movie, right?
It was another biopic.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So already, while it's in post production, that's unheard of because that was supposed to be released
in, I think, May.
Right? Yeah, just in a few months, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What happened with this? Why are they scrapping it so late in the game? And this is Universal. This is not like a Warner Brothers. So that would make sense if it was like a Warner Bros. Project.
Yes. And it's and apparently it was casted with...
Halle Berry. Halle Berry was in it.
With chart toppers and Oscar winners, including Kevin. So it's Kevin Harris Jr.,
Halle Berry. Yeah. You got Brian Tyree Henry. You got Janelle Monáe, Missy Elliott, like Anderson .Paak. Like you had a lot of people in this. So what happened? Did they say what happened? Why they canceled this? They just... Are they trying to get some money? Was it too expensive?
Williams. Say we all got in the editing room and collectively decided it wasn't a path going forward to tell the version of this story that we originally envisioned.
Mm.
So in other words, it just wasn't up to their expectations, and they spent roughly $20 million already.
Damn.
So they might have had like a rough cut or look at the footage and like, it's not worth going back for reshoots. And they probably just like, screw it. Let's just scrap it and let's do something else.
Yeah. But that's, like I said, it's very unfortunate. This is stuff that usually does happen with many projects in Hollywood. I mean, how many things that we hear get shot and then they get canceled all the time? For the most part, like I said, for most cases where we hear from Warner Brothers, those are usually financial gangs. They're trying to... Mm-hmm. Trying to clear out that debt so they'll produce these full projects then write them off for tax incentives. But this sounds like it's a lot more of the creator's control, just not wanted this to be taken out or be shown to light. They just had no faith in the project.
Yeah.
So that sucks. But, you know, that's what comes and goes with the business. All right. Next, what we got here for our film news. X-Men, Marvel Studios is reportedly casting their MCU movie, and they have a potential date looking at late 2027. So this is supposed to be the next grandeur project for Marvel Studios after the whole multiverse saga. They're going to focus straight on X-Men. It's going to be the mutant saga.
It's going to be a pretty big project.
Huge project. This is going to be the money maker for them, because everyone is just waiting for the multiverse saga to clump to like fully die down so they can move forward. So if the X-Men movie does not do good, if this does not push for the mutant saga, I don't think Marvel Studios can continue any further.
Oh no. This is Kevin Feige is putting everything into this.
Yeah.
This man is coming up, playing with his toys up in that room and just coming up with stories.
He's like, with the Cyclops, and then Wolverine from underneath the desk.
So this is the big swing for the fences. Like I said, like once Secret Wars is done and they can wait just a few years in between the phases, I think this is going to be probably trying to mark for the first film right after that phase. Yeah. So if this is not a month, if this does not hit like they want to hit,
My fear about this, like they're gonna hit, like if it does hit, we're gonna get like 10 other shows of X-Men on Marvel.
Do you think they're gonna push harder for the Disney Plus shows? Do you
think so? I'm afraid of.
Okay,
that's what I'm afraid of. They're gonna do, because it happened with the Marvel characters.
Yeah,
where they did well, so they like, well, we gotta push for these shows because we need to tie them in. And now if they get the X-Men, of course, X-Men has an expansive universe, or at least hundreds of characters.
Yeah.
They have hundreds of characters, so they could pull any character they want and put them in the world. I'm afraid we're going to get like 10 other shows of X-Men characters just, you know, doing their
thing. I mean, the smart decision would be have the mutant saga and just focus that with the movies. And all the other random side characters, all the random other side sagas, you know, street levels, cosmic levels, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Shows, TV shows.
But as well, please market these things damn correctly. Because I don't mind getting a teen drama out of, you know, from the Xavier School.
Yeah. Just market it as a teen drama.
Tell me it's a teen drama so I don't watch it. So I don't get pissed off watching it.
That would be a really good decision. If you want to have like variety within your formats and genres for your Marvel films or Marvel content, save that for the TV shows. Have a horror show, have a teen show, have a comedy show, have a full-on action show. You can really versify what you have with your catalog with the TV shows, and you can kind of keep everything the same, at least one linear style for the movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that will be a fair compromise between the two. Not everything has to be the funny quips.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
I'm kind of over the, what the hell was the director for Ragnarok?
Something W.
Damn, that sucks.
Taika Waititi?
Yeah. I'm kind of tired of that.
Yeah.
Kind of tired of that humor.
Yeah, no. I think everyone got tired of that humor real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was okay with the Iron Man movies, kind of, because he's kind of a witty character. But, like, when every character for their own standalone movie has their own wit to it, it got tired.
No, what happened was Iron Man, as a character, was witty. Mm-hmm. Everyone around him was not.
Yeah.
So it worked for him. And maybe Pepper, you know, here and there. But overall, it was just, he was the only witty one. Everyone was living the world.
Mm-hmm.
Guardians of the Galaxy, you had characters who were witty. But again, there were other characters who were not.
Yeah.
The problem with his films was everyone was witty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone had wit to them.
Yeah.
Everyone needed their one-liner joke.
Yeah.
So it got a little too much. So hopefully the X-Men saga, the mutant saga moving forward for Marvel Studios, hopefully they can change things up and get something fresh out of this. This is Kevin Feige's baby. We know that. We know how much he loves the X-Men. So,
Shit, just pull the material from the show. Like, pull the tone from it.
You got to do them right. You got to do them justice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, we know at least the first two X-Men, the live action ones, were done pretty good.
Yeah.
Third one, eh, we could debate on it. The other ones after that, again, we could probably debate back and forth on it. Mm-hmm. But overall, I mean, if you follow just follow the comic books and the animated series, just honestly closely, but just, you know, get the same tone.
Yeah, you'll get it good. You'll actually have a good story every time.
Yeah.
And bright yellow spandex.
All right, cover over the last bit of film news before we hit our break. What we have here, Rooster Teeth returns with Bernie Burns purchasing his assets from his old company. Damn. Yeah. Is he actually going to move forward with rebuilding back up Rooster Teeth from the ground up again as it was?
Sort of.
He does have a statement put out.
Oh, he does.
He said that, "I'm excited at the challenge of bringing Rooster Teeth back to its roots. The heart of this brand has always been its fans, and I look forward to writing a new chapter together." Nothing as far as was spoken about financial terms of the sale.
Or, but he hasn't announced any cast or hiring. Is he going to bring back any of the old people? Is he going to do new hires?
Yeah,
is
he
going
to bring back? He talked about that in, I listened to a podcast that he has, and he did talk about it. So far, the only people attached to the company is him and his wife. That's it. No one else. He says he might do not. Pretty much, what he asked was not to ask any of the former employees, you know, about the situation.
Got it.
Because no one's gonna be brought in, essentially. Because he's working from the ground up, which means he probably doesn't have a whole lot of assets or money to work with. Mm. So he can't bring back every talent.
Person. Yeah.
And on top of that, every other talent's kind of just doing their own thing now.
Yeah.
He says he might. He has plans for doing films, so he might do actually use as a production studio, not a.
Video game content creating or anything. So that means no Achievement Hunter members, none
also,
of the others.
Also, on top of that too, he owns the Rooster Teeth name, does not own anything beyond that. He does not own Achievement Hunter, Funhouse.
Like the content.
Yeah, the content from their subsidiaries and smaller channels.
He owns, I think he has a content for Rooster Teeth itself, because in the podcast, he talks about he has piles of hard drives that he has to archive.
So anything that was directly under Rooster Teeth by themselves, that wasn't branched out to their other small channels.
Yes, it seems that way.
Got it.
Yeah, it says that he acquired the Rooster Teeth brand and its remaining assets, including the website and social channels.
Mm. Yeah, okay, so he owns that. He does not own Ruby. That was already sold to Viz.
Yeah.
Genlock, I believe, was sold to Viz as well. But also, as well, I think a couple other shows were... I think they were sold off, or Warner probably still owns them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like he's starting from the ground up. From
Is a fresh start. Like, that was my biggest thing that I always complained about Rooster Teeth over the years, is how they kept themselves within the realm of YouTube content only.
Yeah.
When they can easily have just branched out and actually done films. And they tried before with like Laser Tag or somewhere, with that film. But then when it didn't get the reception they wanted, they kind of just gave that up. They should have just kept pushing harder and harder to get into that film, because that's what it seemed like he wanted, was to be in the film business.
But it feels as if like the films were limited to like YouTube style content films.
Yeah, but that was how they were marketing, though,
as well. Yeah, they're not only that, but they're marketing as, this is our talent doing the films.
Mm-hmm. They didn't branch out to other people to work with other teams, other filmmakers, other actors and actresses. They kept everything always in-house to themselves.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And I think that's where it hurt them.
Yeah.
Like, now you can start fresh. You have a actual recognizable name. You can transform that into an actual full length production company, start working small with short films and keep building and building and building.
Like at that as well, he did talk about doing some stuff with, you know, online stuff as well, which I think he's going to hook up with Jeff.
Okay.
The other previous owner. Because he's talking about on Fuckface, they're like, oh, they might do something.
Okay. Fuckface.
That's still no. He has his own thing called Fuckface that he actually bought from Rooster Teeth. That's a whole other thing where he started his own podcast under the Rooster Teeth name. Once it went under, they had to change their name to something else, and then he was able to buy back his name.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that's pretty good with that. Yeah.
Yeah. But it looks like he might do something with him. I guess team up again, do some other stuff, but not necessarily, I think, you know, combine forces and become one company again.
Mm.
So I think this is actually a pretty smart move for Bernie Burns if he really wants to go back into film production. This is smart. You have the recognizable name, start working with that, and bam, he can actually do something even bigger than what he had beforehand.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back to you guys, we're going to cover our main topic, the Super Bowl, man. Bam! So stay tuned, and we'll be right back to you guys.
Here are some smaller film news that couldn't make it in today's segment. First up, Beyond the Spider-Verse gets pushed back to 2099 with audio recordings set to start in 2027. Warner Brothers releases 31 movies for free on YouTube. And Deadpool creator Rob Liefeld cuts ties with Marvel after being embarrassed at the film premiere. And that's it. Now, back to our scheduled programming.
And we are back, covering over our main topic tonight, the Super Bowl, man. What a show. Yeah. What a shit show that was for the Chiefs, man.
Jesus Christ.
That was an almost complete full blowout. I felt like towards the end, they started feeling pity for them. And then they're like, all right, you can get some points on the board. I think we'll allow it.
Yeah, they were like,
it can't be 40-0.
It could have.
I would have gone full force. Fuck it. Keep first string in.
Yeah.
Slaughter it.
Slaughter all together. Yeah.
Crush them in points and spirit.
Make sure they never want to come back.
Make sure they never want to come back to this ass whooping. Ever. Let them know whose block this is.
Yeah, man. How do you guys feel about the game, man? Just the game in general before we get to the halftime and movie trailers.
Game in general, I mean.
Loved it.
Okay. As just to watch the Chiefs game. Other asses beat, liked it. But as for a game, just trying to enjoy the game itself, like, you know, as a viewer.
Just two teams competing against each other.
It sucked. Yeah, it sucked, man. It was just so one-sided that it turned like, at first, like, oh, it's cool because, you know, they're unable to, you know, get past their defense. It's all great, but then.
When that just kept happening over and over.
Yeah, it's like playing easy mode on Madden. Just you're whooping ass, and it's just
Mahone's defensive line crumbled,
dude. That's
crumbled.
Those people who sacked them, that was a vendetta. That was
brother. Yeah,
the four men, those same four guys.
That was hate.
I think there was like sweat. I think he got two sacks.
Yeah,
on him. I forgot who else got. Someone else got another two sacks on him. And then somebody else caught like five, and then there was like five interceptions.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jesus, dude. Damn. Like, what the hell?
And then how do you guys feel about the halftime show? So we had Kendrick Lamar finally show up. Everyone's been anticipating this for months. They knew he was going to play Not Like Us. He finally played Not Like Us.
Well, at first it was supposed to be advertised that he was not going to play Not Like Us.
Yeah.
Because he would get sued if he did it. Which I guess the workaround was not by saying that one word and that's it.
I mean, of course, he's not going to be able to say that on, like, we already knew that the song's going to have to be heavily censored because it's Super Bowl, it's TV, you know, everyone's going to be watching that. So that made sense.
Yeah.
But the way he just looked at the camera and just directly said Drake's name out.
Yes.
Hey, Drake.
But I mean, even before that, like the performance itself was, he put a full blown message onto the whole performance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it starts off with, I think it said America's Game.
Yeah.
Oh, it said, I thought it said start here.
Yeah, I think was Samuel Jackson when he was in there in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Sam Jackson playing as Uncle Sam.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about it's America's Game, right? At one point, I remember hearing that, America's Game.
Oh, yes, this is America's Game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, dude, let me see, hold on, guys. Oh, yeah. Welcome the audience to the great American game.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when the lights in the stadium crowd spelled out start here above a downward pointing arrow squarely on Lamar, kneeling in front of the Buick GNX, which was probably a nod to his
the album GNX.
GNX, you know. Yep. Which is a very expensive car, by the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's a rare car.
It is.
It's not only a rare car because it's made popular in hip-hop music because of, I'm about to say Master P, but it's not Master P. It's... former pimp turned rap artist. He is like the number one. Mac Daddy Kane.
There you go. Yeah.
He had a GNX and it became a staple. Like if you have a GNX, you are there.
Yeah.
Got it. So bro had a GNX on there. So he was like a staple of like you're here.
Yeah. Yes, and of course, he started playing, you know, some of the songs from the album GNX, then eventually brought SZA on to play some of the old songs like Stars, and then finally moved on to, you know, Not Like Us. And
teasing,
you know,
Not Like Us throughout.
He was teasing it throughout the whole thing because he knew that's what everyone knew that was the song everyone was waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, he had to play that at the end and, of course, tease it along the way. Like, come on. I know you guys want me to play this, but you're not going to get this right off the bat.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another thing, too, I was about to bring up. Supposedly, people are kind of debating back and forth on this thing, but the very intro of the show, you see the floor lighting up back and forth between the X, square,
yes, triangle. Yes, the PlayStation.
The PlayStation code. Yeah. Supposedly, that's the GTA code for...
full health and armor.
Full, yeah. And people are debating back and forth. Either it was intentional
or an accident.
On just accident.
Okay.
I feel like it was definitely intentional because Kendrick has like his affiliations with video game.
Yeah. Yeah.
As his overall like growing up in his youth and his culture. So, I mean, yeah, I would totally say that was intentional.
So, did you guys like the halftime show personally for you guys?
I liked it. It was okay.
Yeah. I liked it. You know, there's always like, over the top performances and over the top set design and shit like that. As far as set designs go, this was, you know, I don't want to say pretty tame, but I mean, I don't know. It wasn't as out there.
It wasn't as out there. But the one thing I did notice was how more of the camera work was involved.
Yes.
For the cinematography, trying to get those, like, especially when the camera guy was in the X itself with the different dance groups going in and out, and he was kind of just rotating that camera around.
Yeah.
I felt like they were really more focusing on the cinematography and getting those right angles for the televised version rather than the actual onstage performance.
Yes, absolutely. Because, I mean, they were like, because they're doing the back and forth between, you know, when the girls and Kendrick, you know, back and forth.
Yeah.
And they kept panning back and forth with the camera. Then they had those shots where they, you know, they're going through the entire the whole entire dancing the sequence, and they're pulling back on it, and
and I was watching on Tubi. I don't know if you guys were watching on Fox or any other channels, but they kept a lot of the angles tight when you're watching on television, so you weren't getting, like, you know, like many of the past performances, you're getting like the wide angle shots of the whole stage and everything, so you can see all the effects, all the people move around. This one was really, really focused on Kendrick and mostly Kendrick itself.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to see like a lot of the performances that was happening all around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there was some wide angle shots, but not long enough to linger.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a bummer, too, because there was a lot of symbolic messages in those wide-angle shots.
No, the only time they showed those wide angles from the very top down views. That's it. But never from down up.
So, do you think Drake was watching it?
Oh, yes. 100%.
Absolutely, man. You're...
There's already a lawsuit filed.
Already? Wait, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, there's already one.
Damn.
I'm pretty sure his lawyer was just... With a pen just waiting there.
Just watching it.
That means he had to watch it. He had to watch the whole thing.
Oh, no, no. Dude, he had him watching, his boys watching, his family watching. Everyone was watching.
Drake told his friends, like, hey, you need to go watch that and report back to me. Let me know if they do it.
Because Drake had his own live performance in Australia for his on-tour concert thing that's happening over there on the same day he set up for the Super Bowl.
Is that the event where it had him wear like his...
The bulletproof holes in the sweater and the
smoke
coming out.
Fucking extra.
That was during that night. Yeah.
Hey, look, what was the symbolic message behind that shit?
Everyone taking their shots at me, but I'm still standing.
Yeah,
like, bitch, you started this shit.
But of course, the Kendrick and Drake beef wasn't the only thing that was going on in the Super Bowl, and of course, not just the Chiefs and Eagles. They released a lot of trailers this Super Bowl, quite a bit. Did you guys watch them all?
Yeah,
I saw most of them.
I'm actually really surprised the Fantastic Four didn't play.
I know. Well, it just, they released their teaser trailer just 6 days ago. So that one is already pretty newish.
That, and also don't forget, it costs for every 30 seconds, it costs $8 million.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
And I mean, if they already released a teaser for it, and they got Thunderbolts.
A whole trailer of Thunderbolts. It's like a 2-minute trailer. So think how much money they put just to release that Thunderbolts trailer out. Of course, they're going to have to, I knew they were going to, have to choose between Fantastic Four or Thunderbolts for the Super Bowl.
And the Thunderbolts is coming out more sooner, so.
So, of course, they want more people. Exactly. They knew people are going to flock to Fantastic Four. They need to convince people to go see Thunderbolts. So that makes more sense. But yeah, they released a full Thunderbolts trailer, Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, Jurassic World Rebirth. How do you guys feel about that Jurassic World?
I mean, I got beef with the trailer more than the actual than the movie. Like, I don't know. It was like a... like I was telling you guys earlier, it just felt like really one-liner, really, really quirky type of reactions.
It's like action sequence, person gets their one-liner. Action sequence, person gets their one-liner. Where we're going to Island Zero, where it all happened.
That's exactly it.
Action sequence, action sequence. What's going on? I think they're mutating. Action sequence. Yeah, I see.
Oh, man. Don't say... oh, man, what is that? Don't say it's a velociraptor. It's a velociraptor.
What did you compare that to?
I compare that to Star Wars. Like, they fly now?
They fly now.
They fly now. Velociraptor.
No, I felt the same way with that trailer. Yeah. It was very, like, that campy action oriented. Yeah. Everyone gets their one line.
I didn't like it.
Yeah. So it was, but that's just the trailer itself.
That's not a reflection of what I think of the movie. Just the trailer.
That is a thing we need to talk about later. It's like how much harder it is to really pinpoint how a movie's going to turn out. Because trailers nowadays are really failing.
Yeah.
At really expressing how movies are going to be. They really are failing, like, the mood, the themes.
Yeah.
They give too much away. Nothing's really, like, excitable anymore because they just give the entire plot.
Yeah. They need to take a page out of A24's. And who they're going for marketing. I think they have like AV Squad and like, what was it, like Buddha something.
Yeah.
But yeah, for their marketing. So they need to do that. And be like, instead of just going, just throw a bunch of shit in it. Mm-hmm. But usually that happens when you have a movie that doesn't really have very much sustenance.
Yeah, exactly.
And more visual.
So you just need visual stuff just to occupy space. Yeah, I get that.
I mean, when Scarlett Johansson's like one-liner line is just like, yeah, my job is to protect you. Mostly.
You know
where
you're
going to do my best.
You know where you're going to get. But yeah, it's, like I said, they got a full trailer fully released for Thunderbolts. They had that teaser for F1.
I missed that one.
Yeah, I think I was in the restroom. That was actually pretty interesting. Yeah. So I'm actually wanting to see that one.
Yeah.
Novocaine.
So that was pretty mid. But you got How to Train a Dragon. So they got the 30-minute spot for that. How do you guys... Because a lot of people are complaining with the effects for this.
I really don't care for the effects. It's just more of like... It's a shot-for-shot movie.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Were you surprised that they actually did shot-for-shot, and even with the character design, that they did have no characteristic liberties with it? Because most of the time when you get stuff like this, things don't actually line up. This is actually pretty lined up to how the actual animated movie went.
I think they're trying out to see what people will say about this.
Okay.
Because people... Okay. Whenever they do live-action adaptations of an animated film, what's the number one complaints? It doesn't look like the original. They always bitch and moan and it doesn't look like it. They change things around. They don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to give you the exact same thing, only live action.
So if you don't like it, that's on you.
So you're going to get cosplay the movie.
See, that's my gripe. Because if you give them exactly how it's going to play out from the original content, you get Punisher Warzone every time.
That or...
you get Punisher Warzone anytime. Like, if you want your actual one-to-one adaptation, you're not going to like it.
You're going to get that or what's called that Full Metal Alchemist movie.
Cosplay the movie.
It was just cosplay the movie. That's all it was.
So, no, I get that. I really do get that. And I pointed this out before we even started. It's really hard trying to make dragons realistic when you're trying to put them in. Like, when you have them on scale. So, if you put a person next to a dragon, it's just like their eye. And you get those really detailed up-close shots. The effects look good.
Yeah.
But anytime they're flying, they're moving around, you're trying to get, like, a full-scale visual, it just looks gummy every time. It looks very gummy.
And it's gonna. No matter what you do, it's gonna.
Yeah.
And we talked about that even with, you know...
Game of Thrones and everything.
That's what it is.
Well, didn't they make, like, life... size replicas of these dragons.
Yeah, but even then with the problem like that with film speed and what's called the f-stop.
Yeah.
It does screw with it a little bit.
It's never going to match it up.
It's never going to match up. So there's always going to be something wrong with it.
So you're always going to have to go back and animate by hand.
Gotcha.
And when you're animating by hand, you're going to notice those small little hiccups in the movements every time.
Especially this motion blur on the dragon.
Yeah, it's off every time, man. Yeah. It's off. So, like, that's the one thing. Like, I saw it. I was like, okay. And I don't have really too much fondness with How to Train Your Dragon. It was pretty mid for me when I watched it.
Yeah, same thing.
So I'm not personally invested to it, but I didn't know what anyone was really expecting with the visuals when you can get out of this, really, for the first part. Because all you can really do is this or hyper-realistic.
Yeah.
And then everyone's going to bitch you got another Lion King movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with, you know, hyper-realistic talking animals and stuff like that.
But
then you got Smurfs.
There was a Smurfs one?
Yeah.
Another Smurfs movie.
So we're getting another Smurfs movie. Yeah. And then, of course, Lilo and Stitch.
Whatever.
I'm all for it.
So yeah, you have some beef with the Lilo and Stitch.
Whatever. It's just like, Stitch is just annoying. He is. I'm sorry.
Is this your beef with like the actual original content too with Lilo and Stitch? You just have beef with Lilo and Stitch in general or just the remake of this?
Like, Stitch overall is just like, he has very selective lines. He only has so many lines, right?
Yeah.
And it's always the same ones, just like we heard tonight. Or that night, like the exact same thing.
Mm.
So it's just like, this is going to be another movie where everyone, or at least kids, are just going to be quoting random shit for the next like 6 months.
Yeah.
Just like they did when Lilo Stitch came out in the first place.
Yeah.
And the shit was mad fucking annoying.
You're already preparing yourself for all the annoying kids.
Yes.
That's why you're pissed off with this.
Bro, I had to be mentally prepared for when Sonic 2 came out. Because of all the annoying like Sonic quips of just and not even the Sonic quips we know of in video games that we grew up in, but ones that they had to like dumb down even further to make obnoxious sounds so that way kids can like repeat that and they can be like, haha, that's funny.
Now, here's a good thing about that. There are not a single little kid in my family.
Oh, thank you. Good for you.
The youngest one I think is
Yeah, you're lucky with that one.
Seven, I think. Seven, eight. But even then, she does not, like, repeat, like, cartoon phrases, stuff like that.
So, like, so I know it's for the kids. Mm-hmm. Yes. I get it. It's for the kids.
I mean, I'm all for it. I mean, I like Lilo and Stitch, the original one, so.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying I liked it, but I did the other, like, the spinoff shows. Mm-hmm. They did it justice, so.
Now, how do you guys feel about the animation of Stitch compared to how you saw with like How to Train a Dragon?
Dude, it's Disney.
I mean, it's Disney.
It's Disney.
Is it all the same to you at this point? Is the Disney animation?
It's Disney animation, man. Yeah. It's not, they can't do hyper realistic because if they try that, it looks ugly as hell. If they try to do too realistic, it doesn't look right.
I mean, the only way you can go up from here in terms of like progression of technology wise is just to make an actual creature.
No,
you have to create the actual Stitch.
No, the palm. Okay, the palm.
That's the only way. You have
genetic modified animal in the lab.
Genetic splicing.
No. The problem with doing live action, like, unfortunately, Disney's aware they have to dumb it down. Essentially, their VFX.
Mm-hmm.
They do dumb it down on purpose because there are certain technology that is super hyper realistic, but not everything. Like the main issue they had with Finding Nemo was everything looks cartoony. The water looked hyper realistic.
It was too real. So they had to dumb down the quality of the water to match the models for the actual fish and creatures they were building.
Damn. Yeah, because they built the program, which also they built the program for Frozen. The physics for the snow and the wind, they built that. So it looks hyper realistic. It looks really good, but they have to dumb it down.
See?
Yeah. So that's how it goes with that. But your whole gripe with that is something completely irrelevant.
Irrelevant to the actual like animation quality, texture quality. Like,
fuck, I hate these kids. God damn it.
Now I got to hear this shit and his fucking talking and his dumbass little giggle.
Yeah. Also, apparently they had also a teaser for Megan 2.0.
Yeah. So that was more like the logo announcement. So it wasn't really showing for that one.
Oh, no. It was just logo announcement and had a CGI Megan dancing.
Yeah. So that's really with that one.
Yeah.
There's one trailer I do want to talk about. This has nothing to do with Super Bowl that got released, but we missed the chance to talk about it when it first got released, was the Fantastic Four trailer.
Yeah.
Because
the thing looks great.
You're already battling. You're already.
I don't give a shit what anyone says.
You're fighting. You're fighting.
They look terrible. Man, shut your ass up.
Yeah. So we all saw the Fantastic Four trailer that got released 6 days ago. Mm-hmm. What are your opinions on it? How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the classic costumes? How do you feel about the casting choices? Let me hear what you guys say about the, what you guys think about this, Mike.
I mean, I think it all looks great.
Yeah.
I think it's visually creative. I think people bitching about how like the costumes look like shit. Like talking about how like the overall style, mm-mm, how they look like 60s, like nuclear age, mm-hmm, type technology. I think they look great.
You like it?
For what the setting is for the time of this movie, I think they look just fine.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing looks awesome. Looks comic accurate.
You like
thing.
The comic book accurate thing?
Yes, yeah. Comic book accurate thing. Because I mean, like,
well, this is what you have to go up against. So you have 2005 with Michael Chiklis. And
which is prosthetic.
Prosthetic, guy in a suit. So, of course, that's going to look always the most realistic because it's a guy in a suit. But then you got to compare that against 2015 with Josh Trank. And the way they got to work with that is that movie was very dark lit.
Yeah.
So they had a lot of shadows to disguise a lot of the imperfections with the CGI.
So it was just high contrast.
High contrast, that's it. So you can really disguise those mistakes. Now you got 2025 with this new one. And you're trying to keep everything with that same MCU high lit, low contrast lighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, of course, he's going to be more well lit in these scenes. So, of course, you're going to see a lot of those imperfections within the CGI, especially the animation.
Yeah. Because right now, I'm actually currently watching the trailer right now as we speak.
Yeah.
Do you want to show the little bit of him cooking? Okay, you know,
it's definitely, I'll say, because I only watched it one time last time when it first came out. Mm-hmm. That's the only time I watched it, and rewatching it right now, it looks like a standard Marvel film. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it looks like the standard to you.
Standard Marvel film.
Yeah,
it's
the only thing different though is because there's a lot of anticipation because of the previous Fantastic Four films. All of them have always flopped besides, I think the first one or the second one was actually financially successful in some bit. But yeah. Josh Trank was a huge flop. I think the second one was a huge flop and critically, both commercially and with critics, no one liked that one. Mm-hmm. Everyone makes the first Fantastic Four a little bit passable, but still even campy and cheesy in its own right. Yeah. So you don't got much working it up against that with this new Fantastic Four film. And even with the box office, all they have to do is pass $803 million. And they've already beat the box office of all three previous films.
And it definitely will. It definitely will pass it. That's the thing.
Do you think this will get into the $1 billion?
Now, that's a hard one to say.
Yeah. Because there is a lot of anticipation with this one. So with a lot of anticipation, there will be a lot of hype. It doesn't mean the movie will play out good, but you might have that initial hard run at the box office where it can actually boost you up to that $1 billion mark if everyone jumps on and sees it.
What number do they need to pass?
$803 million.
$803 million?
Yeah. So that is the total box office of all three previous films.
Essentially, they got to beat out Blade 2.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And we're talking about 59 on the list.
Damn. Uh-huh. Yeah, no, they can do that. They can easily do that.
I think they can do it.
Yeah, Marvels, absolutely. And the Marvels, the most recent one, it looks like it did $84 million.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you drown out the people that are like saying it looks weird, I think those are the people that aren't keeping the open mind of like, we're finally seeing a Marvel movie that's different than all the other Marvel movies. So far, Marvel's shows and movies that we've gotten has been set in present time.
So I think we're just right now, we're going into the decade of the hate. So since like 2020 and onward, everyone loves hating. So any project, whether it's good or bad, you're going to always see 50% people loving it, 50% people hating it. And that's just going to be in the social media. But of course, everyone's still going to pay with their money to go see it at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what really matters to these filmmakers.
Yeah.
So one thing, though, I really do want to point out is we're finally gonna get a Galactus that's not a fucking space cloud.
That's not some sort of like space storm.
Yeah,
cloud thing.
They show the fucking antlers, man, coming out from the helmet.
Don't forget, we also get a Silver Surfer.
Yep,
in this movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
People have already theoreticized. Is that how you say it? Theoreticize.
I'm
theoreticize that in the trailer you see Reed Richards actually working on the tunnel bridge, like the dimensional bridge, and saying that that Galactus really does destroy this planet and they escape into that dimensional bridge leading into the Earth 616.
Yeah, they're going to have to figure out some way to connect them to the main Marvel universe, because it's just going to be weird if they're having their own side adventures doing their own thing in their own universe while like the big cataclysmic event of the multiverse is happening. They're just having no part of it.
Yeah. No, it's especially they're supposed to introduce Galactus as the next big bad villain.
Mm-hmm.
So it does make sense that if they escape to another world, Galactus comes after them,
following along and stuff like that.
Let's see.
What you looking for?
I'm looking to see what type of universe it is.
As well, I mean, we read the comic books and seen the shows. Mm-hmm. Galactus is supposed to be the size of a damn universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and what I do like about these movies is like, he could just turn whatever size he wants.
Well, that's always something he's done in the comics. So in the comics, he was always able to shrink big, or he was able to shrink down or grow big. He was always able to control his size.
Yeah, but it's always why not just stay big the entire time? Like, I'm gonna turn down to a good amount of size.
See, I think this is what happened. I think when they're first writing the character Galactus, it had different writers. So I think it was just the inconsistency in the sizes they were drawing until they had to come up some bullshit way. No, he just controls the size. He could be as big as a universe, or he could be as tiny or as small as a rat. Like,
yeah, but because sometimes they show him like face to face with another hero and they're, all this you can see is head and that's it. And they're standing right in front of him.
Yeah.
Or other times they're literally both the exact same size.
Yeah, yeah.
Or other times
he's holding like the planet in his hands. Yeah. He just changes sizes at the whim. That's how it always is. Because that was the number one thing I was hearing people complain about with Galactus. Why is he so tiny? Why is he so small? He's supposed to eat planets. I'm like,
look, he's big for the photo ops.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the fighting, he's got to be like, all right, I got to bring it down a little bit. Got to keep it a little bit fair.
Yeah. So like I said, no matter what, they always do have the excuse it's comic book accurate.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that protects them. So they can always, shrink up, shrink down, use whatever scale model they want for this character. But anything else you guys got to add before we fully close out? Anything you want to say to the good old Chiefs, to Taylor Swift, to Patrick Mahomes, to Jalen Hurt?
EAGLES, Eagles!
I mean,
did I spell
there's
that
always
right?
Next year. There's always next year.
No, there ain't.
No, there ain't, man.
No, because now there's no more three-peat. Now you got to start your ass all over again.
Don't worry, buddy. You hold on those tears. Next year, you'll get them.
Cry. Cry right now. You failed. You lost. You have lost. You failed Kansas City.
What's Let it called? Sink in. Patrick Mahomes' parents are going to come in. Son, we're getting divorced.
It's your fault.
It's your fault.
I just want you to know it's all Brittany Mahomes' fault.
All right. We want to thank everyone for listening to this week's episode. I'm curious on your thoughts on tonight's topic. How do you feel about the Super Bowl, the halftime, and the trailers they released? Do you love them? Do you hate them? You can leave a comment below if you're watching this on a Red Band Podcast YouTube channel for our listeners to discuss episode topics and various other film-related news. We put out episodes every Wednesday for our audio listeners and Fridays for those who like to watch our videos. For audio listeners, you can find the Red Band Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. And of course, I'll say again, you can watch our video format on our Red Band Podcast channel on YouTube. And before I fully close out, Mike Castle's last end notes for you guys.
Yes, to go into further detail as to what Anthony just said, you can be able to watch us on YouTube during the live recordings of which these were recorded on. YouTube.com/ The Red Band Podcast. Look for the screaming microphone. The videos come out usually every Friday. Audio is every Wednesday, where you can listen to the audios on either Samsung Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Apple Podcast. Again, look for the Screaming Microphone. And if you happen to have somebody that you know might be interested in these, give it a share. Like, subscribe, comment down below what you think we should cover next. And of course, our Patreon account that we always have up. More subscribers equals more content, so we'd really appreciate it if you subscribe to that one too, because we like doing these and we want to make it full time. So, yeah, that's what I got.
All right, guys, you heard it from Mike. Please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Later, Tatus.